Is it okay to be attracted to someone else in a committed, non-monogamous relationship?
You can't like anyone else. You can't even look at another person when you get in a relationship. You know why? Because that's cheating.
You're a f***ing cheater.
You're a cheater.
I keep bleeding. I keep bleeding out of my vagina. I keep bleeding. Keep bleeding. How we doing over there, Sid? Do you like my song?
It's scary.
It's
definitely making me go faster, that's for sure. I'm like, holy crap.
No, but my cramps are not feeling too well right now.
I got my period as well. Hey, cheers me.
Cheers, bitch. Let's go.
Let's go.
We had a little moment before we actually started recording today, but you know what? We were in a goofy mood and it took us a bit.
We were feeling a little goofy.
Feeling a little goof. A
little goofy goobers, yeah. Mm-hmm. How's everyone doing out there? What are we feeling? What are vibes?
Vibes are good today. What are vibes for you? It doesn't feel like a Monday, which is good.
No, I agree. And today like felt kind of like 7 days long, but not in a bad way where I was like dreading it. I was just kind of like going through the motions. You know what I mean?
I agree. Today was a long day. Like I feel like I've done so much already.
Yeah, same. Which is good.
Yeah.
And I didn't go into the week thinking, oh my God, I have this task I need to get done. Oh my God, I'm dreading it. And I didn't go into the week with that. So I feel great. Sorry. I'm going to be burpy. Oh my God. What?
That was a stanky burp.
Did you smell it? Wait, really?
That came from your butt.
I did. It came all the way from the bottom. Wait, you smelled that?
Mm-hmm. I have like, you guys, I don't know what it is. I can smell burps really well. I remember in like gym class, like when we were swimming, I'd be like, who burped?
What?
And yeah. I could, especially in the pool room.
Can you differentiate between a toot and a burp?
Oh yeah.
Burps have a
certain smell to them. Do you not? Can you not do that?
I think you can't. I don't too, think about it very often.
Well, think about it now.
Now I'm going to think about it a lot. No, today's been good. I don't know. I volunteered this morning. It felt really good. I want to hear something pretty cute.
Yeah.
So I volunteered at the shelter and this woman has been there for 8 years. 8 years. And she just is leaving in 10 days to go to her first apartment.
Oh.
Because she's leaving the place. Yeah.
Wait, that's
it's very
cute.
Special. I was like, wow, that's amazing.
So how did she get, like, what has been her
she got
plan
a job.
Of action?
She got a job and she got clean and yeah, she's going, she's going home or to a home. Yeah.
Good
her own
her.
Home, her own space.
Good
like talk about
her.
Way to start a day. Like that's,
yeah.
I was like, damn. Also just doing something like volunteering in any sense. And there's no shade on like people or feed my starving children or anything like that.
Yeah.
But like, it's not immediate. So I feel like it's harder to know what you're doing for immediate impact.
Yeah.
But finding a place where you can actually like see what you're doing for your immediate community with people mm-hmm. who live right next to you is just so impactful on your life. So like I would consider it. Okay.
I want to come with you sometime. That
you should come
fun.
With me. You can come with me next Monday or the first Monday of the month.
Okay.
Yay! Straight Candid Moments. I feel like we should roll right in because I feel like we both have a few.
We got a lot. Well, first of all, I was on my way here and I had a question for you guys. Do you?
No, you can't wear diapers in the apartment, the studio.
What? Wait, why do you say that?
Because you were tooting up a storm, and every time she tooted, it sounded like she had a diaper on. I'm like, dude, what diaper wearing pants are you? What do you got going on?
And you know
there?
What I said? I said, I'm wearing a pad because I'm a nasty, assy bitch.
And I said, that's nasty.
I hate wearing pads, you guys, but like, you know, when it's not heavy enough for a tampon, but it's like too light to not wear anything.
I still commit to the tampon.
No,
I'm a tampon girl.
Can't you like, okay, this is like so aggressive
oh
right
God,
off the
I'm
bat.
Scared.
But like, can't you like feel it in there?
Yeah, of
sometimes?
Course. Sometimes.
And so then do you just have to like finger
do a little
your,
wiggle.
I have to like finger myself and get it back up.
Oh,
do
no
you,
thanks.
Do you not do that?
I do. I don't because it usually doesn't go in the right spot. And then I'm like, damn it. And then I take
I
it
like,
out and redo.
I just like in the middle of the room, I'll just turn towards the corner and quick just stick a finger up there.
Game night. Hold on, guys. I got a little uncomfortable.
Low key though.
Do you have straight candid moments?
Yeah.
So I have like
speaking,
three.
Speaking about like periods, hormones, whatever the fuck. I got my hormones like tested ever since we talked with Jolene. Like I was doing the whole full blown figuring out what's going on with my insides.
Yeah.
And during this appointment, she asked me how old I was. Dead ass again. I thought I was 28. And
what is wrong with you?
And
you don't
know.
She's the only person that literally has never gotten her birthday, her like how old she is, right? Since I've known her.
And I'm literally not even like, you can only do
I'm
that
like,
if you're above 50. It's allowed if you're above 50.
No, they say like 30 too. Cause people are like, no, I don't know. I'm in my late 20s.
So I was like
you're 35.
So I was like, I was like, I'm.
Oh God.
It just reminds me of before we started the episode. Sorry, we're bouncing all over, but you got to hear this.
Oh my God.
Before we started the episode, Sid is like casually talking to me in the middle of her sentence. What were you even saying? You're like, oh, but these necklaces. And then she like kept going.
I had something in my throat.
So like, what are the straight cannon moments this week? I was like, what is going on?
I had something in my throat. It was tickling my throat.
I think I'm rubbing off on you.
You are a little bit. It's like, I don't know. Sometimes I look at you and I see me now and I'm scared. I'm like, oh fuck.
Well, and then the boundaries between like what's okay in certain situations and what's not. I was just telling Sid, like if I ever went back to a corporate job, I would dead ass middle of the meeting, like clear my throat like that.
I know.
Or pick my nose or
done that one.
Fart. Like I just am so myself at this point that I don't think I would learn how to filter.
Oh, it's very difficult. I'm not going to lie. I'll be sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, I just literally pick my nose and there's people on the camera. Okay.
You're like, okay, work meeting, straight candy meeting.
I know it's
there's
hard.
A difference.
It is hard though.
Back to my straight candy moment. So okay, I dead ass told her I was 28 years old and she looks at me kind of funny. And she's like, well, I was like, I think. And she was like, were you born in 95? It says 95 here. I'm like, oh yeah, I was 95. I'm like, oh, so I'm 27. She was like, yeah, that would make you 27. I'm like, you go, oh, okay.
But your birthday is coming up kinda.
April, May, June. Oh yeah. That's kinda. Not far. That's pretty close.
It's creeping in.
At least now I won't think I'm that extremely like I was scared to turn 28, but now that I've thought I was 28 for a full year, it's not gonna be that much big of a difference.
It's gonna feel like normal because wait a minute, another year.
Exactly.
Another year in 28, huh?
So that was straight in a moment, but also a little catch up from the weekend. Such a nice weekend in Minnesota.
Oh, I know.
Beautiful. Obviously, the snow sucked, and I tried to go.
I was like, wait a minute. Did we forget about this? We had a snowstorm?
Yeah, sucked, but like the day after, the weather was absolutely amazing.
I know.
And so since last episode, I was telling myself, you know, I was going to do some more things in nature. So I went for two really long walks weekend by myself. And no music. It was really refreshing and my shoes were soaked, but like so worth it. So that felt really nice.
That is so nice. I did one of those too, actually, with some of my girlfriends. And I went, how wholesome, nice. Went to Turtle Bread or whatever the heck the company's called.
Turtle Bread.
Got a banana loaf, like a banana bread loaf, and like walked back.
Oh.
Like, I'm like, who am I? Little Bo Peep? Like, the hell am I doing? I'm just like, let me go get my bread. It's Sunday. Gotta go on my walk. Gotta get my bread. Gotta go home. Like, oh my God.
That's cute.
I loved it though. I'll do it again.
That whole sentence, like, oh my God.
Oh my God. Little Bo Peep of bread.
Dying. Okay. I think that was kind of literally my wrap up. Besides one more thing, I kind of wanted to share that.
Okay.
We'll kind of transition into the topic we're talking about today. Okay. So, me and Pat have started implementing this little rule that I saw on TikTok by previously guests Xander and
Vanessa.
And I saw her TikTok about why her and her boyfriend or husband make out every single night before bed. And I was like, interesting. Like, let me listen to this. So she says, obviously, when you first meet, this is directly from her TikTok. So when you first meet and start dating, obviously, you like can't keep your hands off each other. Like Pat and I were definitely, you know, all over. We have sex a lot, like at first, that honeymoon phase. And it's like a pattern, obviously, for most people, once they get into long-term relationships, that you really stop touching and kissing so much. So eventually it gets to the point where the only time that you really, really are kissing each other is when one person is trying to initiate sex.
Yeah.
So she says, but what happens for a lot of people, especially if you're the lower sex drive partner in a relationship, is that you start becoming avoidant of any sort of touch or kissing. Like if you're not widely in the mood or you don't want to kiss them because you think, it's going to lead to this whole, you know, sex act. It's going to have to lead to more. So this further intensifies the narrative that kissing has to or supposed to lead to sex. And this can lead to like, obviously, a little bit of resentment, maybe like a bristle reaction where you kind of like are just like, not right
Wait,
now.
This makes so much sense.
So she goes, you have to break the connection between making out and sex. They give themselves this experience, as many experiences as they can with making out without it leading to sex. So her rule is her and her husband make out every single night and there has to be some tongue contact. It can be less than a minute. If you're tired, you can literally like sometimes me and Pat have just been like sticking our tongues out like 10 seconds, not even. And sometimes like we have like a good minute or two, like intense make out, but it just, we just go to bed.
Wow.
And every single night, we've been doing this for like 3 weeks now, I think.
And you feel like it makes a difference?
And I've been loving it. Yeah.
Really? Okay, good.
Because I don't kiss him like that a lot, because in the middle of the day, I don't want to do that because I'm like, I don't got fucking time to have sex right now. Like, or I'm stressed. I want to go to bed. So I'm not going to give you a good kiss goodnight, because I got to wake up early, you know?
That's so,
so now
interesting.
Every single night we literally just do it.
It makes so much sense, because I feel like I live in that too, in that world, in a relationship where it's like, oh yeah, if you're really, really making out, you meet somebody wants to have sex or hook up. Oh my God. And that makes so much sense.
And you stop doing that and you stop kissing like that.
Yeah,
because you're like,
sad.
Yeah.
So we used to kiss like that all the time in the beginning for anything. No reason.
Oh, okay. So I had to share that with you guys, because I was like, if you're in a relationship and you maybe are the lower sex drive partner and you understand that, like, oh my God, it's life changing. So
wait, I love that. Yeah. That's so interesting. Okay.
So incorporate it
in your life.
Sid, why don't you shake it a moment?
By the way, I can't drink that. I'm literally hiccuping, burping.
Really?
Like, I'm like over here, like I feel like my dad. Like, who the hell? Okay. I have like a few straight kind of moments. By the way, my birthday was so fun. It was so ridiculous and so fun. Jordan, we're going around the table. Soph wasn't at dinner, but she met us right out after. And we're going around the table. And of course, one of my friends was like, we have to have you do the birthday thing where everyone says what they love about you.
Oh, I love.
And it's so cute. Yeah. If you're not the person sitting in the chair. I mean,
yeah,
it's
that's
very,
awk.
It's so nice to hear what your friends have to say about you, but it makes you feel like you're like under a microscope and everyone's looking at you like, aw. And we get around to Jordan and he's like, you're sweet. He gets really quiet when he talks in front of a group. He's like, you're sweet and funny and like my girlfriend and my person and you work out and stuff. And I just ordered us a stretch limo. It's going to be here in 10 minutes. And I'm like, what? What? And he goes, yeah, I got a stretch limo. I have to go right now. Actually, I have to go get it ready. I'm like, everyone's like, what? Everyone's cheering. And I'm like, what the hell?
That is amazing.
So we did that. Soph didn't get to go on it, but she came and met us in between, which was really fun.
I did.
But it was ridiculous. Like, it was so fun to have like I had a little bottle of tequila in there. I was just shaking my butt. Like, I was just doing the thing, riding around the city.
Oh
my God.
It was so fun walking into Smack Shack and seeing all you guys just like vibing off the dinner. And
like just a little dinner buzz.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I literally was laughing internally, because I show up and I'm like, obviously I like want to see Sid. It's her birthday. I bring you your gift.
I know,
like,
cute little gift.
I really didn't feel like being out late and whatever, but I was like, it's important for me to go. So I got dressed, I got ready, and I'm wearing like, I forget, like cargo pants, sneakers, and a beanie. And Sid,
so cute though.
And Sid full on ball gown. Jordan's in a tux, and I'm like, oh.
No, he's not in a tux. I'm like, he was in a button-up shirt.
I'm like, I'm underdressed.
No, you weren't.
But
no.
I was like, oh my God, you guys look good.
Oh my God,
I literally,
you look good though.
No, but like, it was funny, because I mean, luckily it was Smack Shack, but I was like, wow, these people are looking.
I wasn't
looking.
Planning on going to Smack Shack, so I was like, oh God, I'm a little overdressed.
I
dressed.
Literally loved it though. That dress was hot on you.
It was fun to dress up though.
Your butt looked bomb.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I have a random story, and then I have this funny thing, and then I'm done. Okay, I promise. I promise I'll be fast. I forgot to tell you guys the reason in Canada. I was in Canada, so like 2 weekends ago or whatever. I thought this was hilarious, and Taylor's like, why didn't you tell this on the podcast? That's so dumb. So I had to switch rooms. Did I tell you this? When I was at the hotel, like, you get settled in the hotel, you get your stuff in, you know, we're in Canada. Like, I'm not at home. I'm just kind of trying to relax. I'm trying to get like rest in, because I have a full day of presenting and teaching. So I'm like, I go to lay down. It's like 11 PM. I'm like, God, I got to be up at like 5 AM. I lay down. I close my eyes. I'm like, just start calming down. Just start relaxing. Yep. And I literally, from 11 PM until 5 in the morning, listen to my neighbor.
No.
Yelling, puking in the toilet, pooping in the toilet, tooting. The toilet would echo.
What?
Our rooms were so close together. I heard him puke all night long. And I wish,
no.
I was kidding. I put a pillow over my head. I'm laying there. I'm like trying to cover my ears. It was freaking ridiculous. So then I was like, God, do I just switch rooms in the middle of the night? Because it was, I'm not kidding, every two.
So you weren't sleeping.
Every 30 seconds, like, was a weird noise. Like, ah, like that. Like, excuse me?
Like Sid grunting.
I know, it was like me earlier, but every 30 seconds. And I thought about like going to knock, and then I'm like, who's on the other side of the door?
Are they good?
I don't know. So then I went downstairs and I look across the parking lot, because I'm waiting for the woman to come, because I'm like, I'm about to go off right now. Like, I'm pissed. I got no sleep. There's a Dave and Buster's in the parking lot. I'm like, and the lady walks up to the door, and I'm like already pissed off, and I cock my head. I'm like, there's a man in the room next to me that clearly went a little too hard at Dave and Buster's last night. I'm going to have you move my room right now. Like, I am livid. I didn't sleep a lick. He was probably partying at Dave and Buster's all night. Just fucking got Dave and fucking Buster's. Hammered.
I think Dave and Buster's was
a
pet store food supply shop.
There is like a Bentley's pet stuff store that maybe reminded you of it. Maybe. No. Okay. Good stuff.
Never been there.
Either way, but long story short, I don't know why, but my friend was standing next to me and she started wheezing laughing too. Cause I literally said to the woman, I'm like, I don't know if this guy got fucked up at Dave and Buster's or some shit, but I'm pissed. I was so lit.
You know what you need? I just got this for my sister's, I keep thinking it was her bachelorette, but it was her 30th birthday. But I was really afraid. Number one, my friend Vanessa, I was staying at her house one night and she goes to bed pretty late. I go to bed fucking early. Number two, I knew we were going to be like partying for my sister's 30th and I didn't want to have to like always be the last one awake. And I can't fall asleep unless everyone else is asleep a lot of times.
Just be quiet.
So I splurged and I bought this because I was like, it's going to come in handy again. It is called the Manta Sleep Mask. Okay. It has like cups around your eyes because it doesn't press on your eyelids, but it has earphones Bluetooth connected. So it's this whole getup that you put on. It has earphones and face covering. It's literally pitch black and you can play white noise. You can play sleep meditations. So you can fucking sleep wherever.
So I should have had that.
And
that sounds pristine.
I'm gonna always bring it when I travel now.
Sounds so nice.
Literally not sponsored, but we should be.
But I would love it.
Manta Sleep Mask. Pat had one before I did. So
and
then
you
I
were like,
it.
I need
yeah.
it. Okay. Yeah. Fuck. Done. Right? All right.
Done. So a little hot tip there.
My last thing is I'm going through my closet. I'm reaping all.
Dude, I need to do ripping. This too.
Ripping the clothes out. And I finally went through and I said, I'm standing there and I'm looking at the pile and it's looking at me and I'm like, I'm not keeping you. I can't. I'm not going to do this again where I say I'm going to wear you to a rave I've never been to. And you'd be outfit number two.
That's literally what I go.
What?
Well, I might need it for a Halloween costume.
Like, ma'am, no.
No,
you're
I'm
not
going to
need
that. It.
And so I had a maybe pile, okay? And Jordan came in and he was so tired. He went and laid down on the bed. And I go, Jordan, I need it. And he's like, huh? I'm like, you need to wake up for a little bit because I have to show you items that I might get rid of. It's very important.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So he goes, oh babe. And I go, just give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. It's really not that hard.
Yeah.
So I start like trying on outfits and he'd give me like a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
I should do that.
And then I realized that I was showing him outfits like onesies. He thinks they're the ugliest thing ever. And he was saying no to everyone because it's literally like, it looks like a weird little like unitard. It looks like a baby outfit on an adult. And then I had this, I just thought this
were you
was
not,
so.
Were you not wearing pants?
No, I don't know. I'm too busy. And so he just, his one eye is open and he'd just be like arrow down or thumb down, whatever. And my final outfit, I realized I was cracking up because it's literally this tiny little, I got a sweater. It shrunk and it's a button sweater. And so I had it open, unbuttoned. My nipples are out. I'm in these weird little yellow underwear because it's like the weekend. Who freaking cares? And I'm just standing there and I go, Jordan, yay or nay?
He's like,
and
yay.
He literally looks, he goes, what am I even looking at? I go, yay or nay? And he's like, no, what is that? What are you wearing? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, okay, geez.
He's more.
I put it back in the maybe pile.
He's more like, come on over
here. He's like,
here.
Yeah, like what are you doing over there?
Pat,
I just thought that was so
Pat
funny.
Pat picks up some of my clothes that, you know, the ones that are like really stretchy types of tops. He goes, this has to be.
Oh, it's tiny.
He goes, this has to be for a baby doll. Like he literally thinks all my clothes that are, he's like, there's no way this fits you. I'm like, watch
this is for
me.
A baby.
I'm like, watch me put it on. It'll fit. He's like, no, there's no fucking way.
Jordan, I just will always, whenever we get home, I'll pull my pants down like really far. And I'll be like, babe, I got to quick use the restroom. And I like my, where my butt's out and you can see the like onesie, like weird, like in your butt crack. Like, and he's like, stop with that. He thinks it's the weirdest shit ever.
That's a style.
A onesie. Like guys are like, what the heck
have
is
you seen
that?
The thong thing happening lately?
The thong thing?
Yeah. You like pull your thongs out a little bit.
I feel like that's like the Britney era. That's like a 2000s thing.
I don't
came
wear
back
thongs,
around.
So.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
That's great.
That's my straight cannon moment. Sorry. That was like 10.
I need to go through my closet as well. And I need to go through like my whole apartment because you'll never regret getting rid of things. I'm telling you now.
It feels so like relieved. I feel free.
I have to like convince my boyfriend to do it too. So wish
me
luck.
Wait, why? He literally has like one mini rack.
Not clothes. I'm talking about apartment.
Oh, got it. Okay. You guys live in a tropical safari in like Epcot.
But he does.
Like you literally do. You live in a Disney like tropical safari in Epcot.
But he does.
Maybe that's not the right place. I don't know.
I love that little, but yeah, he does have a little mini rack. No, he has a whole side of the closet now.
Okay. He does have interesting
minus a quarter.
Decor, and that's fine.
Minus a quarter.
Would you say that he has interesting decor?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. There you go.
His style is interesting.
It's curious.
Curious.
Yeah.
Very, very curious.
Anywho.
Okay, let's get into this fucking topic, bro.
Had a shit ton of people writing in about relationships in general. Like, I mean, literally, like, advice and dating and singleness.
It's our
and
DMs.
It's our DMs. Like, yeah. It's our DMs. It's what we get when we do have a little question box and we're like, what should we talk about? And we were like, okay, we need an overarching, like, all-encompassing singles, relationships, dating Q&A. And so that's what it is.
We're doing Q&A, baby.
We're doing
and
Q&A.
These are obviously our answers.
Yeah.
We are not professional relationship therapists.
I
relationship, might be. Relationship experts in general. These are just our opinions and what we think on the topics.
But we
and I will say, like, I feel like we're pretty good at dating and pretty good at finding love. So we've been single. We've been in relationships.
Bye.
We've done it all. So let's get into it. First question.
All right, here we go.
Is it okay to be attracted to someone else in a committed non-monogamous relationship?
You want me to answer?
Sure.
You can't like anyone else. You can't even look at another person when you get in a relationship. You know why? Because that's cheating. Okay.
You're a fucking cheater.
You're a cheater. No, I mean, come on. I think everybody here in this room is attractive. All three of us. Wow. It's like, you're going to see. I like was like, wow, what a number when I said that out loud. I see attractive people all the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I have feelings for them. It doesn't mean I'm going to pursue them because I don't want to because I'm in a happy relationship.
Yep. Simple as that. Honestly.
Simple as that. Right?
I don't really have anything more to add. Like there's a lot of hot people in the world. There always will be a lot of hot people in the world. And that's very natural to be attracted to other humans. And even like imagine like maybe you're like fantasizing. I don't care as long as you don't act on that shit.
Don't act on it. Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah.
Also, it's like don't base like a reason to be in a relationship or a reason for someone to like you is because you're the hottest. Like that doesn't mean anything. Hotness also ebbs and flows. It won't stay forever. It's going to change. You're also going to age. So the earlier you can get over being like wanting to be, I should say, the hottest person in the room, the better. You know what I mean?
I feel like I had something about that. Oh yeah. Sexual attraction obviously fades and we get old and we get ugly. So
yeah.
Just because sex is good doesn't mean it's going to be the love of your life either. So
that's so true. That's such a good point.
I have another one about that, but okay. Next.
Okay. This one says I'm an extrovert dating an introvert and it is hard.
Mm.
How do I balance me wanting him to be energetic and fun, but not also asking him to be someone he's not? How do you balance that mix in a relationship? Like, are we two opposite?
Ooh, mm-hmm. Good question. Mm-hmm. I would say like right away, how do you feel when it's just you two? Cause that will be like, you know, 70%, 80% of your life. Like
yep.
If you feel like you mesh really well when it's just you and him and he treats you right and there's nothing else that you're like really, you know, turned off by or there's nothing else that's a huge issue in the relationship, most of your values are the same, I would say you can work with it. Absolutely. And I think sometimes that's actually a good compliment to have with someone too. Like I dated someone who was also very extroverted and center of attention
mm-hmm.
and it didn't work out well because
right.
I'm the same way. So sometimes there's definitely a boundary between opposites attract. I don't necessarily think that's true because I think that will cause a lot of like conflict down the road. But when it comes to introvert extrovert, I think as long as you take it slow and don't overwhelm them and find like a happy medium,
yeah.
I think it's doable. What do you think?
I agree a lot. I think everything you said, I agree with. The thing is, it's like opposites attract. Yes. But like what opposite is it? You know what I mean? Like not every opposite is a positive,
no.
right? But this opposite, I would argue that maybe it's if the relationships prior have not worked where you've been dating someone who's the exact mm-hmm. same as you or like a little bit in between, maybe trying somebody that's a little bit different than you. Like clearly they like you for a reason. They probably bring out that different extroverted self in them.
Mm-hmm.
They probably mellow you out a little bit which you probably need, which is very similar, to be honest, to Jordan and myself.
Same.
You know what I mean? So it's a balance that I prefer. In the beginning, did I wonder if it was going to be like boring and not for me? Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, what the heck? This guy isn't the life of the party. Like, why isn't he yelling when we go out? Like, why mm-hmm. doesn't he know everybody? That's so annoying.
Yeah.
What's annoying is what comes with that person. I don't like the extroverted all over the place male, because that means for somebody who was insecure at the time, remember this is like 3 years ago, that means they know all the women there. That means they're the loudest guy there. They're buying shots for everybody. They want to party. They're the one that wants to stay at the bar until after close. And
yeah,
I don't know. I already had that and it didn't work out for me.
Pat and I's relationship is when he's like socializing, I think he's great at socializing. He is extroverted for sure. But like one of our kind of conflicts that come up often is I guys, I barely want to go out past 9 p.m. But sometimes I do. And sometimes I want to do like a later thing on a Saturday night. And he will not budge and he will not come with me.
That's like a no-no for him. He's like, and nope.
It's like, I don't even like bother to ask him anymore. My friends are like, you know, some of the drinking friends that I see often, they're like, where's Pat? Where's Pat? They like literally have never met my boyfriend because he will not be out past 8:30. And at first I was like, this is like an absolute no-go. Like, I want you to get drunk with me sometimes. Like, but you know what? At the end of the day, I think, hey, like, I'd rather my boyfriend be in bed 9 p.m. waiting for me to wake him up and suck his penis. Just kidding. But like waiting for me to get home and I'm the one who was out late rather than him. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So I get it. But yeah, that was a long answer. Third question. Before defining a relationship or like putting a label on it, do you think there's any topics that you need to be discussed beforehand? And I can go first with this one because yeah, I kind of had something written down for this one. So number one, what counts as cheating? I think that's so important to talk about. And I realized like me and Pat, some of these questions that I found, I was like, oh shit, I actually haven't had this conversation yet. So what counts as cheating? Like, is cuddling a friend, is dancing, is flirting? Does that count as cheating? Are there any secrets that we should keep to ourselves? Like, what if my ex texts me? What if my friend doesn't like you? Like, am I supposed to tell you that? Number three is, does this milestone make you feel more secure or anxious? Are you more comfortable by being yourself? Number four, do your expectations of me and our relationship change? Are we going to hang out more? Am I going to be your primary emotional support? And the last one is, besides adding a label to the relationship, is there anything I can do to make you feel more secure? So like, should I make an Instagram post? Should I, you know, announce that we're dating? Yeah, and any long-term relationship goals. I don't know. I was just like, those are kind of nice. Like, especially the cheating one, I realized.
The cheating one for sure is like an absolute.
And the secrets.
The secrets are huge, I guess. I don't know. I don't think I have a lot of those convos. I feel
me either.
Well, actually, now that I think about it, when Jordan and I started seeing each other, he's older, right? So 6 years, I think. I definitely asked him, I'm like, there's two no-goes for me. Like, I'm not getting married in a church. That's number one. And that's a big deal for a lot of people. And that's okay. I'm just saying like right off the bat, and I'm also not in a rush to get married. So like you being 6 years older, if that's something that's a deal breaker for you, then we need to move on from this. And we had that conversation literally on date number two, I believe. And he was like, nah, neither of those things bug me, whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, let's keep moving forward then.
And maybe even the kid thing. Like,
if you wanna have kids. Yeah. It's hard.
It's hard because like my boyfriend is so young.
I know.
So like when I was 24, as a female, I didn't want kids.
Yeah.
So as a male, I feel like it's even later. So I'm like, I've like had this conversation with Pat a few times and he is like, I don't know, like, I don't really want them, but I don't really not want them. So I'm like, okay, that's enough hope for me right now.
I know, you're like, we'll hold on to that. That's perfect.
Like, I think, and I don't really know still.
You don't need to know. Yeah, that's a hard one though, because you don't want to, at the same time as you're getting into a relationship, you don't want people to like, be like, Jesus, like, holy.
Yeah,
like,
you don't want to be like
pushing
them
a little bit like right now. Yeah. Because it can overwhelm people, and that's kind of fair too, because it's a lot.
I think it's a good conversation to have like after you're actually starting to date, not when you're just seeing each other.
No, definitely don't do this. No.
First date. No. Absolute no go.
Over your first sip of a margarita. So are you going to have kids or no? You're like, okay.
Do you want kids with me?
Do you want to have kids with me now? Okay. Question number what? Four?
Yeah. I guess we don't need a number of these.
We don't need a number of them. We can have whatever number we want. Okay. I can't get over something my boyfriend did a long time ago. Hear me out. We were about 4 months into dating and I saw an email notification pop up about him not logging into his OnlyFans lately. I confronted the situation. It went super smooth and he was understanding, respectful, and kind. To be honest, I'm not bugged by any of this. Like, porn doesn't bother me, but on OnlyFans, there's a chance you're kind of interacting directly with a person. To this day, now 4 years into my relationship, I can't get it out of my head. And he hasn't done anything to ruin my trust ever. What the heck do I do?
Wait, so he wasn't logging into...
So it was saying, so basically they're 4 months of the relationship. And think about it. If you don't do something for a certain amount of time, I'm trying to think of like an email that I've gotten. It'll say like, hey, you, like, you haven't logged into your OnlyFans in a while. Like, and so she saw that when they were like dating for 4 months and she got kind of like weirded out.
Now it's 4 years later.
And now they're 4 years later and she can't get it out of her head.
Oh.
This was a condensed, it was a very long one. That one, okay. There's two things that my brain goes to. There's one is, if you haven't brought it up in that long, do you really have open communication in your relationship? Because to me, that sounds like something that needs to be talked about so you're not obsessing. Mm-hmm. For me, even when it's something that's so ridiculous, I'm like, are you going to ever hook up with my sister? I don't know, something stupid. I have to ask. It's like, literally, if it obsesses your brain, just get it out. Get it out. Mm-hmm. If you can't talk about it, that's not a good sign for number one. But number two is, it sounds like you got a little work to do internally, you know, like a little insecurity that you need to work on.
I'm just going to say about the first one, like, I don't know if it's smart to bring it up right when you're thinking about it
not,
at all times.
Not right away, but I mean, you're 4 years in.
Yeah.
Like, you've been thinking about it for 4 years.
She definitely should have had this communication earlier. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I always like, this is what I do. When I have an insecure thought or feeling or something I want to talk to Pat about, before I just internalize it and try to like explain myself to him, I always talk to either a friend or a therapist and like help get another outsider perspective.
That's good.
And I feel like my therapist has always helped me like, okay, like maybe like ask it this way or like, okay, what is really bothering you about this? And maybe I end up realizing I don't actually have to ask the question. It's something that I'm dealing with. So like, I feel like that's helped me a lot, getting someone else's perspective, because like from the outside, looking at just this question from what you've said, you have nothing to worry about. It sounds like it was a long time ago. And this is something that you probably need to work on your trust issues and not even bring it up to him at this point.
It's a trust thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But if you're, if something's bugging you, say it before.
Say it.
Also, I don't have my Invisalign in and my teeth moved like a lot lately. And it's like for sure giving me a lisp. Like it's like very, like my mouth feels different.
I need to fix my bottom teeth very
soon. Okay.
Tips on initiating sex and any sex tips in general. This one has like a lot of different parts to it. So tips on initiating sex in a relationship. And then we can also talk about like single initiating sex. In a relationship, the reason why I was like, we should definitely talk about this is because I've been dealing with, Pat literally is just ready all the time. Like Pat is, Plan Daddy is the horniest goddamn guy I've ever met in my life. And I'm not. And I get home and I'm stressed and I am hurrying to clean, to cook, to wash my face, to get into bed. And if I come in and I'm like, oh, and I just let out this big sigh release, or I finally just like sit down on the couch and take a second to breathe, and you come over and you're like, let's fuck. Like, no,
I don't like that. I'm like, no,
you know, read the room. He doesn't say let's fuck. He's a little cleaner than that. But like, you know, he'll be like, hey, babe, you know, and like try to like hump me a little bit. It was like a little animalistic type of hump.
Something, I tell you.
And it's just, you got to read the room. So if I had to like give tips for this, for initiating sex as someone who has the lower sex drive in her relationship, would be, I think it'd be smart to maybe ask, okay, how are you feeling? Like, how's your day? You have a normal conversation when I'm on the couch breathing, relaxing, as you're slowly touching me.
Yeah.
And like kind of gauging interest a little bit, because right at that moment, I am not going to feel like it.
No.
So that's why I just want to talk about reading the room with that situation.
With that. You got to give little signs, I think, throughout the like day/night. If you're spending a whole day with each other, that's a little
different.
That gives me
signs 24/7,
though. Sign more like just that you care. You know, like remember when...
The blockades.
The blockades, right? Like rubbing a leg. Like you just have to like initiate slowly, especially for women. So I'm like, touch a leg. Like... rub a back earlier, you know what I mean? Like, or tell them later, like, I'm like really horny today. I want to hook up later.
Yeah.
Like, don't make it the pressure of right now, right this second, right now we're going to hook up right here. Like, it's like, ease into it a little bit if somebody seems like they're a little bit overwhelmed.
Do you feel like during the week it's hard to have sex because you're like going, you're like, no, yes. I feel like you do this, you go to bed. I just like cannot find the time during the week to feel relaxed enough to even get in the mood. So that's what my struggle has been. It's like on the weekends, I've noticed I'm like, oh, I have time to be bored for a little bit. And I'm like, oh, I want to get freaky. Like, I actually have time to be in my body and like feel how I'm feeling. But like during the week, I'm just like, go. I don't really have time to just like lay down and think about being horny.
Well, you just have too many stresses of the week. I feel
so
like
is that bad though?
No. Why is that bad? Because why do we put pressures on it? There's no reason. I think that we have been reminded that there's no number that's right.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? Of having sex. There's no days that are right to have sex. Like, mm-hmm. if a Tuesday, Wednesday for you is not in the cards, because for me it's not.
Yeah.
It's not in the cards, so I don't even have to stress about it.
Like, but is that also a sign that I'm not taking enough time to, like, just chill for a second, you know?
So I don't have the option on those days, so.
I know.
It's, like, too bad. Like, I know, for me, same. To be honest. You know, like, other days, yeah. Do I lean into, like, calming down and not doing anything? Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
And then maybe those days. Maybe like a Thursday or Friday.
I also get horny in the middle of the day, not at night.
Yeah, same.
Do you? Same.
Yeah. I'm not at like.
Night, no, I'm like, in the middle of the day is my prime. Yeah, or like, during a leg workout, I'm doing like hamstring curls. Well, right when I finish my set, I'm like, I want to have sex.
Wait,
right,
really?
Now. Yes.
I don't ever think about it at the gym. I feel like there's so much going on sometimes when I go to the gym.
No, there's a lot going on, but I just get
too,
like,
many people though. I'm like, I don't know. Like,
I think it's like the internal stimulation. It's not
power.
It's not like quite the corgasm. Okay, that was in a relationship. Do you have any tips for in a relationship as well before we go to single initiating?
Just don't put pressure on it before you go into the situation. Like, don't think like I have to do it now because we haven't done it in a while. Like, there you just put pressure on it again.
Yeah.
Like, you have to remove the pressure and ask, use your words. Like, I was not using my words, and no one can read your mind. So if you want something, ask for it. And the worst thing they can do is say, no, not right now, tomorrow.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I don't know, but that feels...
It feels bad. Trust me. I've had people say it, but you have to just accept it for what it is.
But do you just ask, like, if you're in a relationship, like, can we have sex now?
No. I feel like, no. No, not like that. Like, initiate, like, you know, start making out, or like, maybe if they're in the shower, like, go bug them.
Okay.
You know, or, you know, and then worst thing, they're like, not right now, like,
use your
later
actions
tonight. Yeah,
maybe.
Use the words. Okay. Or actions, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so, oh... I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. Do you have a listener?
So I have one more regarding this question. I have a listener. Wow. How do I have so many videos from whence I was in the elevator? That's crazy.
I literally so many. You're like, it's me.
I literally have 20 videos from, like, I took this screenshot this morning. So what? She says, okay, I'm desperate and need some straight candid advice. On the podcast, you sometimes talk about your vibrators. I am in a healthy and committed relationship, and we've talked about using a vibrator during sex. Mm-hmm. But my partner does not want to use vibrators because they are scared we are always going to need to use them, and he won't be able to make me orgasm on my own anymore.
Oh.
I had this same experience in previous healthy relationships too. I get where they're coming from because, let's be honest, I'm sure vibrators will change everything. I feel like their thoughts are valid, but I also really want to try one with my current boyfriend. What are your thoughts on this? Are their points valid, or do I need to keep pushing the vibrator combo? Thank you, and please keep me anonymous if mentioned on the pod. Love what you do, by the way. I started listening last year and have binged every episode. Keep it up, Minnesota babes.
Oh, that was nice.
Right?
I have a few thoughts on this. Kay. For sure. Always keep pushing for what you want in a relationship. Like, if that's what you want and you want to use the vibrator, keep pushing for that. Don't just let up because somebody else doesn't want to use it, but you have to meet them in the middle, right? Maybe it's like trying it once and then we decide. Like, let's do it together and then see how we both feel, right? Like, that's what I initially think. For me, there is no reason you can't use a vibrator in the bedroom. I'm like, I need to be careful with my words. I'm like, doesn't mean that it'll always be needed. Probably not, but maybe use it for a different thing. Like, for instance, use it to start the stimulation, like use it to like start the sexy time and don't orgasm with it. So that maybe if that's like the piece that's most important to him, then that's what he can like do to you. Does that make sense?
The one time I have had an orgasm from a guy eating me out, which is not often, let me tell you.
It's not usually
literally
for anyone.
Is I use my vibrator for like 4 minutes and then I was like, okay, go. And
hurry.
It was like, you literally have to go now.
10 seconds. Yeah.
And so that's a good example of that. So I use it as a tool for sure. And I just Googled
There's
for you.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Healthline, such a valuable source, says it's a complete myth that you can desensitize your vagina or clitoris from using a vibrator. So
you don't need to worry about it.
Yeah.
I would say it is hard when the other person is not as sexually open to like new things, even though this feels like, what? It's just a vibrator, right? To you, to them, it makes them feel probably a little bit like, what's it called? Like embarrassed of like, what if I can't do something for this person that a little vibrating tool can do? So just like be sensitive to that, but just kind of be like, yeah, but that's just not how it works. And really kind of stand your ground. I urge you to stand your ground.
And ask them this. Okay, babe. So when we have sex, out of 10, how many times do you finish? They say, 9 times out of 10.
I would say 11 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's like unfair for men. I'm like, what the hell?
And you say, okay, so for example, when we have sex, I probably orgasm 1 time out of 10. Mm-hmm. Don't you want me to be more like 10 out of 10? Because one, I would enjoy it more. You would enjoy it more because I'm enjoying it more. And I would probably want to do it more because I'm enjoying it more. Not because I don't enjoy it with you, but because yep. I want to finish like just like you. Yep. Like literally just it's that simple. Like it just makes sense.
Piece it together for them, right? Like make it make sense because it does. And it even does. One another one that I used was like, no, I forget the percentage. Now I'm going to butcher the percentage, but yeah. It was on one of our podcasts yeah. of like how the percentage of women who finish mm-hmm. just from having sex. It's like literally like 12%.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not going to happen. Like it's really probably not going to happen. So this is going to make it way more fun. Like you're saying, you know what I mean?
Yes. And you can still, I just thought of another little tip. You can still like, you've heard of like vibrating,
like a ring.
Ring. Yeah. Yeah. So I tried one of those. I was like, okay, whatever. But lately I've been doing without my hands. So it feels like it's all pat is a lot of times girls can finish if they're on top. Cause you can like grind a little bit. So I put my vibrator on his stomach pretty much. And I'm mm-hmm. on top and I'm just kind of grinding, but my hands are free.
Oh, so you don't use it. Yeah.
So I don't use it. And that's been like a new thing that I've just discovered past month. So
make it fun.
Make it fun.
I think if you're turned on, they're going to be turned on. So win-win. That's what I would say.
Win-win-win.
Win-win-win.
Win-win-win-win.
Is there another part of that?
Yeah, just singles. Like, when is the right time to have your first sexual encounter with someone you're dating? How to overcome awkwardness with a new partner. Mm.
I will say if the tension builds up for too long, I've experienced this. Like, there's so much sexual tension that you're expecting this, like, pizzazz. Big, like, yeah. Boom! Oh, my God. That was crazy. And you're sober, too. It's just, like, and it's just edgy. You're, like, get nervous. It's, like, you get nervous and then, like, you're like, oh my God, they're not hard. Like, oh, they're not turned on by me. But really it's like, it's just the pressure.
Because they're nervous.
Because they're nervous. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would say give it like, I like to say like three times so that you're like calmed down, yeah. like 2 to 3 times. But I would say once it feels right, if the first night you hook up with somebody because it feels right, because you have so much chemistry, first night it is.
Do it.
If it's not for until 2 months in, because you're looking for something different that you haven't done before and you're both on the same page. Mm-hmm. That's on you. Mm-hmm. There's no right time. I'm not going to tell you when to do it, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
What about the second one? How to overcome awkwardness with a new partner.
Mm. You got to talk.
I was going to say talk about
it. Talk about it. It's kind of funny that it was awkward. Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, this was a little weird. Like
when you're like kind of humping and your like boobs make that like farting like noise or something.
The squeak.
Yeah.
I do, by the way, my back farts in class now and I hate it on a mat in
yes!
yoga. It's like, burp, burp.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know. And it sounds like a toot. And this happened to the guy next to me and his buddy was in there. He goes, bro. And he goes, that was not a toot, you guys. And they started, I thought it was hilarious. They were like talking to each other.
And so you know what? You laugh about
it's
it.
It's funny.
And that's the same funny. Shit you do. If Who you cares? Have, if you have awkward sex, you laugh about it. And when is honestly,
sex serious?
Like, yeah. Honestly, if you ever have like a weird or awkward first encounter too, you know, when you're like chilling after, you'd be like, you know what? Like that was fun. But like, you could be like, but I think we can do better. Like we'll go next time. Like make light of it. It's really not that serious. Like they felt the same way probably too. And they're also like, shit, like she probably doesn't like me or he probably doesn't like me. So just know like you just got to talk about it and make light of it.
If you're more experienced, don't make the other person feel like they're the smaller person. Like if that makes sense, like have you ever been where they're like, oh, like you did this. Like, I don't really like that. It's like, okay, say it with a little more care. Like be like, I know you, let's say touch my nuts or something like that. And I'm not really like a nut guy. Like don't touch my nuts. Like, and they're like, okay, sorry.
Oh, I was like, you're not, what I'm saying.
I was like, you're not. Oh no. Like, I'm trying my best to make it like,
Sid, I didn't know you had nuts.
Not Jordan and I. So like, I'm trying to use like other situations. So I'm not always like, Jordan does this. And he's like, come on, what the hell? Why'd you out me? But it's like, don't make if you're the more experienced person, don't make the other person feel like they're like this little weenie. Like, why did you do that?
Yeah.
Just communicate.
Yeah.
I want this. I want that. I don't really like that. Boom. Done.
Besides, when you make the other person feel like empowered and like sexy, it just makes everything better.
Makes
so
much better.
I totally agree. Okay. Nice.
Okay. How do I stop with the psycho habits I had with an ex in a new relationship? He hasn't done anything and I still creep on his phone when he leaves it out. And I catch myself writing a narrative in my head about what he's doing and who he's talking to.
Same answer as the OnlyFan ones.
Literally. That's what I was going to say. RT. Just no, you know, just no. Just got to grow up on the inside. You got to like have some self empowerment, like talk to yourself nicely. use actual signs versus signs that you've written in your head to tell you what's going on in the relationship.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I'd probably do your best to talk to an outsider about, mm-hmm. definitely, and try not to completely or always bring that conversation up with your significant other because it's going to push them away.
Especially not like before bed. That's a no-no. I've learned that one pretty hard.
Just like in general.
Like when you're in bed they're like, hey, good night. And you go, can I talk to you about something? It's like literally Jordan would be like, Sydney, no. Right now. Why are we doing this at 11? I'm like, because I've been thinking about it all day. It's like, no, no one wants to talk about this right before bed. Never ends in good things. Okay. No. Next one. Go ahead.
What do you guys think? Because I think a lot of women self-sabotage in relationships. So how do they know if they're actually just being in their head and being insecure if they're self-sabotaging that relationship?
Good question.
Taylor, you kind of brought up a good point.
You know, I think we've all been probably in a boat, something similar to this, where you're like just in love, infatuated with someone that you think is like better than you for some reason, for some stupid reason. So you get insecure about it. And you feel like you ask too many questions or you... Mm-hmm. are too energetic or talk too much or talk too little or aren't yourself.
Don't ask them to hang out too much or like too eager.
Mm-hmm. And I think it does all come back to they're probably one, maybe not the best match for you if that's how you think, if you're like, okay, you know what, like they're above my, what is it, playing field, whatever the hell.
Yeah, like out of my range or whatever the heck.
Yeah, whatever they say.
What's the word?
I don't know. What's the fucking word?
Out of my range. I don't know. At wheelhouse? No.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, like you're also going into that. We've said this probably thousands. There it was.
Sorry.
Thousands and thousands of times on this podcast. But like all you're caring about is if they like you versus if you like them. Like, if you go into it with that and just thinking like, hey, we're going to see if we're friends, see if we even vibe. Like it's a whole different experience.
Doesn't
but
have to be so heavy.
I feel like I'm going to answer questions. So why don't you talk?
Okay. My thing is that I remind my friend / Taylor of this sometimes too, is like, why is it like why are you always just thinking about what they think of you? And my thing is have you ever taken a step back and been like, oh my God, is this actually a complicating situation? So for me, I'm like, is it actually hard to hang out with them? Are they actually not making an effort? Or am I being a little bit like clingy? Mm-hmm. Like what is actually going on here? If I just like take a step back and looked like it out from the outside in at a friend's relationship. If you're seeing that, like, wow, they're really not making an effort. Wow, that one time they said something, like, really weird about, like, something they do at work that made me just feel shitty. Like, it just think about the situation as a whole and stop thinking about it as, like, God, I'm just the problem. Like, are they the problem? And you're not meshing and you're trying to force something that actually doesn't really work? That very much could be the case.
I feel like whenever I had this situation, I don't know if this is good or bad, but I would always make sure I was dating more than one person too, to make sure it wasn't okay. All my eggs are in this one basket because I'm obsessed. Yeah. Like I definitely tried to like play the field a little bit.
Oh my God.
So I wasn't so obsessed with one person. Yeah.
I would say one flag though that I will always like say to people is like if they acted really, really obsessive right off the bat and then it weaned off, that is a flag in itself right there. Like why were you so obsessed with me in the beginning when you didn't even know me? And then all of a sudden you're like, you don't really care. Like that is a flag. And that's all I need to say about that. Like watch for those little things. You know what I mean? And it's never realistic.
I know there's like a way and like ways you can actually stop self-sabotage. Like this goes for so many different things, but like guys with ED, erectile dysfunction, like that's a form of self-sabotage.
Oh my God,
okay, I'm going to have sex with this really cute girl that I'm really into and they can't get hard. Sounds smart. I'm about to go on a podcast. Oh fuck. I'm going to be really dumb today. Like self-sabotage. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to make sure you're feeling confident. I think confidence goes into a lot of self-sabotage behavior. So if you can be confident about the situation and confident about being with that person, like you will 100% kind of stop that cycle.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good way to put it. Love.
Love.
Okay. Did I read that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was you. Okay. Oh, that was me, I mean.
There's this guy I'm seeing on and off. He got my number, texts me first, but when it comes to following through on plans, it seems to never happen. He texts me almost every day about casual things. We will plan to meet up at the bars late at night, yet he always disappears and in quotations, loses his phone or his battery dies often. I'm just confused because he initiates all the combos and has asked me to hang out numerous times.
I hate to say it, but he's for sure dating more than one person. But yeah, that's also not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like you're a lesser priority and he knows that you're going to be there. And I hate to even say that, but like, it sounds like he's like, oh, she'll still be there though.
Yeah.
Like, I am prioritizing this other person over here who's like new, shiny, and exciting. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And that's just not okay. Like,
sounds like a fuckboy.
It's okay that he's dating multiple people, but you don't want to be the second hand, third hand sitting on the bench. Like, no. So just wean off. I would distance myself for sure.
Yeah.
Do not give effort where effort is not being given, period.
You'll meet someone who gives you effort.
For sure.
I mean, I feel like I've been in the situations where I just wanted to date around and like guys wanted to date around, and you kind of know the difference. You feel the difference and you can tell the difference. Like when you met Jordan, it was immediately like, okay, we're both not really seeing each other right away. And me and Pat, like after our couple dates, it was like, I'd stop seeing everyone else. And
yeah,
I just knew he was too. And there was no doubt in my mind that like we were dating other people.
Timing though, it's like, it's everything, because even I've been with like exes and we both wanted to make it work so bad, but timing was always off. Like they were being great when I was like kind of fucking around and vice versa. Like, and it's just timing. Like it's timing shitty, but it's true. And you can't always hate the person for being in a different spot than you, right? So just like kind of be like, dang, this isn't a me problem. It's not a you problem either. I'm just going to move on, because they really didn't do anything.
Yeah. And not to say this person and you maybe won't work out in the future.
Yeah, true, true.
But like as of now, he wants to fuck around. So.
Yeah. And that's fine. Just let him. Don't be waiting for somebody that you don't deserve to have that bullshit going on.
Love okay. I have one more. What do you got?
Well, I had three, but I might make you decide which one you want me to do. Should I go first? This one's easy. I'm going to read this number 10. I am friends with my ex and it bugs my partner. What do I do? Right? It's like, oh shit.
Well, okay.
How friendly are you?
Immediately I was like, I'm friends with the opposite sex and it bugs my partner. I was going to be like, okay, there's some nuances to this. Like, has there been a history, blah, blah, blah. But because it's an ex, like, yeah, I would be, oh, fuck.
I know. Here's the thing is, I've heard from gay friends, straight friends, the same dilemma, and it makes everybody feel the same. It doesn't feel good.
No.
Because it feels a little too close for comfort. We've all been burned some way, somehow. And it's almost like this, like, little accidental situation could be sitting right there in the corner of your eye, and you're always like, oh, shit.
Here's what I
think. Is something happening, or are you guys just friends? You know what I mean?
Here's what I think. If it's friends with your ex, like we hang out one-on-one and we get coffee and lunch dates and go for runs and I go over to their house, absolutely fucking not. But if it's your friend group, that happens.
True.
That happens. True. And I think I'd be okay with that. As long as there's no one-on-one situations, I'd be okay with that. But if there's one-on-one with your ex, I'm going to be honest.
No.
I think that's a no.
That's a no
for me, bro.
That's weird.
No.
I have guy friends from college that were definitely, they're considered my exes, and we still text and like say like, how are you? Like my friend got a new job. I congratulated him. He moved. I was like, what's going on? Like we're friends because we're in this huge friend group.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it started because he wished me a happy birthday. It's not like it was like, hey baby, how you doing? Come over. Let's get coffee.
There's
what kind of accent
for sure.
was that? Get a coffee.
Let's get a coffee.
What was that? Do you think?
Let's get a coffee.
Coffee.
I have no idea, but I don't like the way your nostrils flared when you did it.
Coffee.
Flare,
flare, flare.
What was it?
A flare, flare, flare. I was doing flare. I don't know what accent it was. I was trying to see if you knew.
Oh,
from noise sound.
How can I increase
my
chances?
A little loopy.
How can I increase my chances of finding love?
Oh,
love.
Good question.
Love.
Okay, here's the thing. If you want love so bad, all you got to do is call 1-800, got to get love. No, I'm kidding. If you want love so bad, you need... why did that sound cheesy twice in a row?
Because it was.
Ew! If you're like wishing for something, there you go.
If you want love so bad.
If you're wishing for something so hard, it is immediate pressure on something.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it 10 times more difficult, if not more than that, to get what you want.
Yeah.
So I would say like, you don't want love. You want a kind person that enjoys doing the things that you like to do.
Partnership.
And like, partnership is what you actually really want, I think, is what you're trying to say. So start taking a breath and like opening your eyes for partnership.
Feel
right?
How sweaty my hands are.
Oh, God damn. You could slide down the slide with those.
I don't know why. Ooh. I definitely agree. And I think there's a happy medium. I do. And there's a happy medium between like, you know, once you stop looking, you'll find it, which I think is like, yes and no at the same time, because like you do have to put yourself in the right situation. So like stop. Number one is stop going for someone who's unavailable. Mm-hmm. Like all the freaking things we've read, those guys are not available right now.
They're not open.
They're not open to it. So stop going for the ones that aren't available. Go for the ones that are giving effort. Mm-hmm. This goes for male, female, whatever kind of partnership Everybody. You have. Two is know yourself. Like, I think if you are able to know what your best qualities are, things that make you uncomfortable, I think that really helps with attracting the right energy for you, and it helps totally. You like figure out your partner. And if you don't know a lot about yourself, like we've been there, like early 20s, I was like, who the fuck am I? Therapy helps. It helps you like put words to feelings. It helps you put words to who you are. It helps you like dissect your history a little bit and figure out like, I don't know. I just feel like knowing yourself and being confident in who you are, necessarily the good things and the bad things about yourself.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Really, really helps you develop better relationships. And that doesn't just go for friends. That goes for like love partners as well.
I think having intentional conversations versus just like the quick, hi, how are you at the bar? Mm. Like, and I mean something by this. I just mean like everybody wants somebody who's happy, right? You don't want to like a Debbie Downer, but you can't connect with people if you're not speaking the truth, mm-hmm. right? Like if someone is like, how are you? How has your job been? Like, or like, how's it been living over here? And you're like, it's okay. You know, like I'm not loving it, but I'm being real with you right now. And I'm like, I feel like I've been lying to myself and it's not going that well, but I'm trying to get over it. I'm doing new things. And they're like, wow, good for you. Mm-hmm. It just makes you get on it. Immediately you went from surface level.
Be vulnerable.
To vulnerability. And boom, all of a sudden you're having a way better conversation with somebody that you've seen out at the bar 25 times and you know nothing about.
And maybe the vulnerability is what makes them attractive. Yeah, that's you know exactly. what I'm saying?
Or and it's attracted to you for being vulnerable.
Uh-huh. And that's the thing. It's like the attraction, like we said before, like the instant sexual attraction, it fades. So just because like sex is good or they're hot, it doesn't mean they're the love of your life. So if you can really push past that, I know it's hard to do.
It is like, hard, but it's
like
true.
That initial attraction. But I think Love is Blind kind of has like a point. Like
you watched
that,
it.
Yeah. I watched a few episodes and it's
so good.
I would suck at that, I think, you know, like we rely so much on this and that and okay, what your body posture, how your hair looks like mm-hmm. if we could take that out of the equation, like God,
we'd be living so much lighter.
Yeah.
I will say my only other thing, cause it goes right off of that is like when you go out, everybody, let's say not everybody, but people idealize like a certain type of person. Like if you're with a group of people, you probably all think a few of the same people are hot, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about like the guys that are super nice, that are still attractive, that are standing right next to that guy, that are the ones that are the ones being kind and polite and not in your face or not being like super douchey, mm-hmm. like that you're just kind of like brushing off because you're looking at the one shiny like coin standing in front of you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Or more than likely the guy that's probably not there.
Or not there. Mm-hmm. Cause you're probably not going to meet them.
Cause
the
he's
loop.
Probably in bed at 8:30 PM.
I know. And that's where you think of, mm-hmm. putting yourself in other places where you can meet more people and have more circles.
Let me tell you, going to the gym, like the gym I go to, if you're single, go to my gym. That is all I'm telling you. If you're a female, because the male specimen where I work out, holy shit.
That's very true.
Okay. Sorry, Taylor.
Oh, I was just going to ask for people in their early 20s, how would you say, because everyone I feel like thinks a lot of times you're going to meet someone at the bar, which to be honest, I really hope I don't. I don't think I'm going to find my husband there. So how do I meet someone without going on dating apps? Or I guess the gym is a really good place, but usually I'm in the zone there. So
we've talked about this one a little bit before too, of like you said, getting yourself in situations where other people are going to be, where you already have things that you like about. It's the same thing as the friendship episode where we said, how do you make more friends? Yeah, that's the same place you're going to be meeting these guys or girls or whatever you're looking for.
Yeah. And if you're in college, like I will say like, yeah, the bars, the nightlife is like, it does play a role. I understand that. Like you might meet friends and like cute guys out and who knows what can come of that. I know a lot of people that I've met in college, you know, at bars that are married now. So that's definitely an option.
It is.
But I remember like seeing, if I had a class with a guy that I thought was cute and I would like hear him talk and, you know, I was like, he's intelligent. Like I'm into this. I would literally sit by him. Like, do it. Like, make moves.
Do the move.
That's how you're going to increase your chance of finding love is, like, are you going to sit in the opposite corner of the guy you really want to get to know? Or are you going to just, like, sit close to him and ask him a question and, like, slowly start to get to know him? So if you're in college, the best goddamn place to get to know someone is you see them every week, the same time, same place. Oh, my God. That's like, perfect. Holy crap. You're in classes together.
But beware that the college male is likely a little bit immature.
Yeah. Beware that
they're probably not going to be your winner.
They're probably not ready, maybe.
But you know? It's good practice. Yep. You know what I mean?
Some are. We shouldn't say that.
I know. Not all of them. We're not saying all. We're just saying some. Because.
And besides, I know a lot of people in college like meet their love of their life, but they're not ready. So they keep it casual and then they end up getting married later on. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. It goes around, comes around.
Oh, my last one for how to increase chances of finding love.
Oh, I was like.
Is to look up from your phone. So I feel like a lot of times, especially now, like coffee shops, like we're just looking at our phone versus like looking around. So
look around. Be curious.
Baby. Yeah. Okay, I'm done.
I have two more, but this first one I think is going to be pretty quick. Okay. I am in my 30s with one kid and still have one night stands. My friends don't love it. Neither do I really, but I didn't get it in my 20s. Is it fair of my friends to judge me? Am I not allowed to do this? I don't want to be stuck in another marriage yet again. So she's 30, divorced, has a kid.
Is the kid around?
The kid's not going to her one night stands with her.
Well, who's watching the kid?
Well, the kid probably goes to a babysitter or his dad's house.
Oh, I was thinking she brought...
What the fucking nutsack?
No,
I don't think literally, her kid's coming with her.
Well, it literally sounds like the way that was written is like she had a one night stand and the guy would come home to her house because she has a kid.
Well, let's just assume that doesn't happen because I have friends that have kids and they definitely don't have their kid at the house and they're having one night stands. But let's just do it as if the kid is not there because I'm benefiting the doubting right now.
Okay.
My answer was going to be you can hoe out all you want, honey. Just because you're 30 doesn't mean you can't live your life. If that's what you needed and you were in a marriage, forget it. Even if you weren't in a marriage. Do what you need at that time. As long as it's making you feel okay.
Don't avoid things
that are making you feel not great. Because one night stands can feel super great or they can feel really shitty. So if you're feeling good, and you're just having kind of fun and like doing things that you need to let out of your system. What's wrong?
As long as you're safe about it. Because you have a kid. And as long as your kid's not there. I would say go for it. And I would more challenge you to like... Yeah, maybe get like a friends with benefits.
Yeah,
like that's always fun. And date around, like absolutely.
But if
you're going out and one night stands, it's just the reason why I was like hesitant is because one night stands I associate with like really drunk, really late. And you know, when you get older, sometimes that's a little bit harder to do, especially when you have kids. So,
but we can't give judgment to even if she's, you know, if she has a kid or not, right? Like we can't give judgment to people. If they want to have the one night stand, they can have the one night stand, you know,
absolutely.
As long as they're being smart about it.
As long as the kid's not there, I don't care.
I'm like benefit of the doubt. Let's just say it's not.
That's just the way that was written. That was not quick because I was like, is the kid in the room?
He's sleeping there. No. Okay. Last one. I'm a romantic. I see a guy for 2 days and I feel like he might be the one. Then he breaks my heart a month later and all my friends say I was blinded yet again by wanting love so I didn't see any of the flags. I can't help it. Any advice?
Oh, I feel like I know. I feel like I know people that are like this. They fall in love so hard, so fast.
Oh my God. I have like 10 friends that I'm like, oh my God, in college, they were just like, they wanted love.
They call you every week with a new guy. The new person they're in love with. And I'm like, oh, and I just think in my head, I'm like, it's going to be the same shit, different guy. So I think a lot of that has to do with, like your confidence, your security with yourself. Like there's something that you're missing, I think, within that's making you think someone else is going to fill it. So you got to figure out your shit first because every single person you meet, if they like you, you're going to be infatuated with them, which is not the case.
It's like you get infatuated or get excited with the idea of somebody liking you. Mm-hmm. Like you're like, they chose me. They chose me. Like, oh my God, I was chosen. Like, this is my person. Like, it doesn't work like that. You got to choose people too. And you got to wake yourself up a little bit. Give yourself a little shake when things seem so good, almost too good to be true. Give yourself a little realism, like bump and be like, okay, what am I actually like looking for in this relationship? And is it giving me that? Because just because he's friends with his parents and he works out doesn't mean he's a winner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that shouldn't be your like, yes, he's my man.
The bare minimum.
Dude, no. Mm-mm.
Oh gosh.
Oh, okay. Lord, love, love, mercy. Love.
I hope you guys liked our takes. I got a straight candle listener moment for you this week. Whee! And we are gonna wrap it up. So after this person wrote in. Straight candle listener moment. After my most recent breakup, I decided to download Hinge for the first time. And boy, oh boy, was I having fun. So validating, but that's besides the point. So I matched with a super hot guy. We messaged for a bit and finally planned to meet up. When I tell you my knees buckled when I saw him, I'm not lying. Not because he was hot, but because it was my cousin. Again, my cousin, my first fucking cousin. My cousin catfished me. Oh. He said he always had a crush on me, and now that I was single, he thought he could convince me to consider dating him. I was appalled, to say the least. Let's just say our family gatherings are still very awkward.
Sid's jaw to the floor.
I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted. What are you doing?
What are you doing, buddy? Are we down south now?
Like, what? What did you think was going to happen? Your mom's gonna be okay with this. Like, what are you doing? What?
Okay, what about second cousin?
No, I've already had that happen and no.
What?
Yep.
What do you mean?
My second cousin hit on me. Taylor knows this.
Tell me more.
He asked me if I want to have stay up and have an all-nighter. And I was like, what?
No. How old
I was little. I was like 13. He was older. He was like 17. I'm like, no. Yeah, and like just weird things.
That's
weird.
Catchy.
And second cousin, third cousin, I don't really give a cousin, whatever, but he was my cousin.
If we're blood related,
I don't care.
No.
Like, you look a little bit like me. Like, get the fuck out of here.
You know what freaks me out? When we learned from Dr. Jolene that, you guys, when you're on the pill, sniff out and you're more attracted to guys that are more similarly genetically similar to you versus when you're off the pill. So, like...
Yeah.
I was attracted to Pat when I was on the pill. So he's probably more genetically similar to me than I thought. And then like, what if the people I'm attracted to now, they're probably more genetically different. Like what if we are all like kind of related to our significant others because we were all on the pill when we found them?
Inception.
Crazy. It's just crazy, bro.
Jordan, literally the other night we're laying there and I'm laying there kind of getting comfy. And he goes, do you think that you'll like me when you get off the pill? Like, because he was looking at her social. He was looking at her social media.
I found Pat.
I'm like, yes, I will like you, babe. I laughed. I'm like, what?
Well, tell him this too, because I think I'm finding Pat more attractive because, you know, are we talking about both of our boyfriends have like those browed ridges?
Wait, I was going to bring it up, yes. But then I felt like, oh my God, I'm totally outing him.
Both of our boyfriends have like, you know, when they have like the bones on their eyebrows, they look like a little bit of a Neanderthal.
I took anthropology, human evolution. Yes. So this is not BS. Like this is the truth.
So wait,
this is real.
So they both have that.
That's a protruding. It's called a protruded eyebrow line.
Brow line.
Brow line. Yeah.
And so when you're off the pill, you find those types of people more attractive because they have higher testosterone.
Ooh.
So,
sexy.
So yes, you will find them still
more
attractive. More attractive.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Okay. Sorry. What were we going to say about your,
it's literally just means, and you guys are like, what are you talking about? But obviously it went like ape, Neanderthal, human.
Wait, what do you mean?
It went like evolution. Sorry. Okay. If you're like not.
The Bible doesn't
I'm
say
sorry.
That.
Don't. You get the hell. Let go of my wrists. Get away from me. I don't care if you believe in both. I don't care if you believe in one or the other, but here's what I learned in school. Okay.
I had to. Neanderthal person.
If you, we're all persons now. Okay. If they have a protruding forehead line, it means that they are closer in relation to the Neanderthal. Therefore, they evolved later. Doesn't mean that they're less evolved. It just means their bones are closer to the Neanderthals. There you go. You have it. Thank you. You just got an A++ in anthropology, which I got a C in. So there you go.
What does like the biblical evolution look like?
I'm not sure. Actually I do know. It was
what? We don't know what we're talking about.
Oh my God. I almost said it was Lewis and Clark. I meant to say it was on the ark. It was on the ark. Oh my God.
Lewis?
Without Lewis with Clark. The most confidence. It was Lewis and Clark. I'm like, oh my God, no. I'm sweating.
Welcome to theology.
Literally.
Yes.
Oh God. I went to public school my whole life. Okay.
The earth.
No private school for this girl.
Yeah. I took theology my freshman year of college and everyone knew what was happening. And I was like,
I got made fun of because I didn't read the Bible.
Yeah, same.
I was like, shit, I don't know. Sorry.
I mean, yeah, half my family is really religious, so.
A lot of my family is, too. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys.
On that note.
It wasn't Lewis and Clark, I'll tell you that. But when you find out what it was, let us know, all right? It was Mary and Joseph. Okay. Joseph and Mary. Joseph is Jesus's dad. Jesus's dad. Or wait, shit. Okay, I gotta be done. I can't. I'm sorry, you guys. I just actually don't know. I need to go read. I need to like get educated. You guys, at Straight Canaan Podcast is our podcast on Instagram, on all the things. What'd you say?
I hope we didn't lose listeners.
I know, sorry. Guys. People it's are like, why like, are you still listening?
We're just taking light of this.
These are just also actually our thoughts. Like I just, this is welcome into my brain. You're welcome. You can hang out in here if you want to, if you hate it here. Now you know where not to go.
Oh.
I'm at Candid Sid.
I'm at Candid Sof.
Tay. Come on, shoot your handle out.
TTK.
If you haven't yet, please rate and review, subscribe. All the good, subscribe on YouTube, rate and review on Spotify and Apple Music. Apple Podcasts, not Apple Music, unless we are singers now.
Oh.
Should we end with a little song?
Yep, let's sing it. A one,
keep
a two,
bleeding.
Oh. Keep
bleeding love. I keep bleeding, I keep me.
Hey,
vagina.
No, you're done. Goodbye.
You pull me open and die. My feet are so cold.
Oh my God,
they're
ow.
Sweating and they're wet. Let me see what my but they're cold.
Like oh, wow.
Okay, I'm actually, I'm maybe bleeding through
who's
my pants.
Not on the chair.
No worry.
No it's worries.
Okay, I literally have to leave.
I know, we all gotta leave.
Okay, let's be done.
Love you guys. Bye-bye.